At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A warm and friendly hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Just Cousins with myself, Dagan Peterson. Now part of the Beeson Family of Podcasts, we've got a tremendous podcast for you guys. We're going to be keeping this one to two parts. We didn't get a lot of news and notes in college basketball on Saturday, which is why we are keeping this one a little bit more brief. But what we do have is a great conversation coming up in segment number two, as we're going to be chatting it up with one of our good friends over there at Shaw Quality Bets, Justin Perry. What I really want to know is how his model is going to be taken into account so many transfers coming into the year, because oftentimes you hear that the biggest advantages in college basketball are early on during the season, and I think it all depends upon the season, because sometimes I've had my best success betting in November/December. Sometimes I've had my biggest failures betting in November and December when it comes to college basketball, because it is very much a lot of, shall we say, new wrinkles. You've got a lot of new looks. You've got a bunch of coaching changes. So that does cause for just a lot of volatility, and that does cause for a lot of guesswork. I mean, let's call it what it is. I think every model does have a little bit of guesswork involved with it. So I want to just get the thoughts of Justin as to how that model is going to be looking, how it sort of adjusts based on all these coaching changes, based on all these transfer moves, what have you, because obviously if you have a team like, for instance, Penn State, with them undergoing a coaching change, they are not going to be playing the same style that they did the past season. So we're going to be talking about that with our good friend over at Chalk Quality Bets and Justin Perry in segment number two. And here in this segment, I'm going to give you a little bit of a roundup of what we all saw in college basketball on Saturday, since there were fewer news and notes. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNet_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. It is going to be very interesting to see what happens just with regards to this college basketball offseason, as we've got a few coaching vacancies that are still out there, and one of them, it was filled by a gentleman that had good success over at D2, Cal State Bernardino, at CSUN, Cal State Northridge. They are hiring on Andy Newman over at Bernardino. He went 91-30 in his D2 coaching career, and I think that this is a very good move. Someone that does have a lot of familiarity with the state, and he was able to run just a little bit more of a exciting style, for lack of a better term, because with CSUN, they were playing at one of the most slow and grimy styles in all of college basketball, and one of the worst places to be is if you're playing a style that is just not exciting, and you're losing a bunch of games. You could get away with being Virginia, where you win a bunch of games, but it's like bowling ball shoe ugly, what have you. If it's bowling ball shoe ugly and you're losing a bunch of games, that's really hard to do. As if you take a look at Cal State Bernardino, they were averaging 88.4 points per contest last season, as a collective shot 38.8% from three-point range. They gave up theirs with right around 74.5 points per contest, and they would turn the ball over quite a bit. So I think that this is going to be very exciting to see what happens. We see CSUN, we've already seen quite a few players from that program transfer out of it, but I am very pumped to see what they're going to be able to do, because this is exactly what they needed, in my opinion. This is going to be a big one for the University of Missouri, as Tamar Bates has decided that he is going to be becoming a Missouri Tiger, as For Mr. Bates, he was a good three-point shooter last season with Indiana, just didn't see a lot of minutes. A former top 50 recruit that last season primarily came in off the bench, 6 points per contest, shot 92.5% the free throw line, shot 37.5% from three-point range as a bit of a 6'5" combo player. Would like to see Missouri play a little bit more defense than they did a season ago, but this, without a question, is a very good step in the right direction for them. We've got this gentleman deciding that he is going to be going back to where he had a lot of success, and we are seeing a lot of this happening with these guys that they were at like the mid-major level. They don't have things necessarily go their way, and then they decide we're going to go back to where we were able to have a bunch of success, and that is going to be the case for Joe Bezmili, as he was playing over at Oklahoma this past year, averages 4 points and about 2 rebounds per game after 2 seasons ago at George Washington. He tore it up in the Atlantic 10, 16.3 points, 5 boards, was able to shoot 35% from three-point range. He has decided that he is heading back to the Atlantic 10. He is going to be heading over to VCU, as we know, with VCU, a lot of shakeups with regards to this program as they lose their coach in the offseason and Mike Rhodes, so it is going to be a bit of a new look VCU team that is probably not going to be generating like 17 plus turnovers per game, but I think that this is a nice step in the right direction for them. And Florida State, they always try to bring in athletes, and they're going to be poaching one away from the Atlantic 10 and Josh Nickleberry. Not sure what sort of an impact he's going to be able to make in the ACC. He was at LaSalle this last year, and he was a solid scorer. Last 2 years at LaSalle, about 11 points per contest. Began his career at Louisville, so he does have familiarity with the ACC. Never really did anything at Louisville last year. He was on campus, shot 22% from 3 points per contest. That was in limited minutes. And this past year did shoot 40% from 3-point range, but very intrigued as to what gems are going to be lying ahead there. But those were a few things that we saw in college basketball on Saturday. And we really don't have a lot of coaching vacancies still remaining. Quinnipiac is one that I'm going to be taking a look at. But now we've got a lot of player news that is happening, and a man that is trying to get everything all squared away for the 2023-24 season with the model, and just trying to be as best prepared as seemingly possible to make some money. That'd be our good friend, Justin Perry, over at Chalk Quality Bets. He's going to be joining me next, talking about how his model is just handling everything that we're seeing this offseason. And that's on the flip side right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Las Vegas for Just Get Seats with myself, Greg H. Peters, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast, and it is great to be joined by this man. It's Justin Perry. He does tremendous work over at Chalk Quality Bets. Take a look at the great game of college basketball. Joined me a lot during the regular season, and I know that now he's doing a lot in terms of the NBA. So for those of you guys that, well, college basketball is on hiatus in terms of a game-to-game perspective, and are looking to bet on some games in the association, he's got you guys covered there. He does absolutely amazing work when it comes to taking a look at baseball as well. To be able to follow Justin on Twitter, that is at Justin Perry, the number 8 altogether. And Perry is spelled P-E-R-R-I. And Justin, always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Greg, it is always a pleasure to be here. Even in the off season, you know, we have to keep our eye on college basketball. I mean, 360 plus teams and players moving every which way, over 1,000 players in the portal. So it's definitely important to kind of, you know, not sleep on it, not really let yourself slack at all, because you do need to stay up on these moves, what different conferences are going to look like, or else you're going to be studying all through the end of the year just to get ready for November.
Yep, absolutely. And my biggest question for you is, in terms of the shot quality model, how much do you take into account coaching style? Because we know that Penn State was a team that the model had some very intriguing results on. I know that you guys were able to do a nice job of being able to gauge a team like that. That was very unique, having all those guards be able to fire on all cylinders. Now Micah Shrewsbury heads over to a Notre Dame team that I'm sure that the model did not like very much this past season, and rightfully so, because it's very strange to see a team play so slow and play so horribly on defense like Notre Dame did. But you have a big, giant coaching move there. As a matter of fact, I think when it's all said and done, we're going to have about 55 or so coaching changes. And I think that that's the most interesting thing for me with regards to your model, because as we know, with regards to shot quality data, it is taking a look at the shots these guys are getting, and the coaching scheme itself has a big hand to play in that.
Yeah, it's definitely really interesting with how shot quality ends up working. I wouldn't say that we necessarily make any type of manual change for a coach, rather than see the algorithms, the shot quality evaluative algorithms, the one that watch every single possession and see what, you know, the actual plays that result from the offense are worth. That is really, you know, where everything comes from, where the betting comes from, where the shot quality scores comes from, is the individual weighting of shots. So why I bring this up is because essentially what we look at is using that evaluative method instead of just did the shot go in or not, was the offense efficient in scoring. Shot quality is more predictive faster, especially in the beginning of the season, at determining those play types, at determining which matchups a team is going to succeed in. So while we don't necessarily go in and say, okay, well, if Shrewsbury is going over to Notre Dame and is going to bring this maybe the style over, we're not necessarily going to go in and say, okay, well, now we need to change what shot quality is going to be evaluating for his style. If anything, shot quality is just the algorithms and the metrics are built to instantly understand that his team is going to be playing different faster than maybe the efficiency metrics based on those same players, right? Because we are a player-based system. So what ends up happening is that we don't compare teams or players to an average player in D1. We compare them to their own expectations based on the shots that they've hit in their career or haven't. We basically will compile the team based with the components of the players. We'll know what they're actually good at, and then we'll be able to tell faster than efficiency metrics how good they're doing at whatever new coaching scheme is sort of laid out in front of them. So it's really more of just like a tool that can tell you if it's working faster than if the points are coming in, and more reliably so, right? Because we've seen hot games go to cold games. It happens all the time. But shot quality will tell you sort of what's under the hood as these coaching changes take place in front of us come November.
Absolutely, and I've got to touch upon this as well, because with all the coaching changes, that means a lot of different rosters. As Joseph Berry does great work over at Shot Quality Bets, is joining me on the podcast. And when it comes to shot quality, is it all going to be just based on what these guys did last year or what they maybe did a few seasons ago? Like, I take a look at a few cases where you had a guy that was at the mid-major level, was completely lighting it up for like 15-plus points per game. I'm probably going to say his last name wrong, but Jobez Mille, he was over there at Oklahoma this past season, just was unable to get out there on the floor. But two seasons ago, while he was playing in the Atlantic 10 for George Washington, he was one of their top scorers. Being able to put up about 16 or so points per contest, was a guy that was rock solid as a starter, was able to drain right around 35% of his threes, shot about 25% this past year at Oklahoma. How is the model going to gauge someone like that? Because I think that it is so interesting, because I don't think that you're just going to see him pick up and be that guy that was averaging 16-plus points per game at George Washington once again now that he's heading to VCU. But no doubt, heading from Oklahoma to VCU means that he should be scoring more than the 4 points per game that he did last year at Oklahoma as well.
Right. And that's the beauty of it, is that everything is adjusted for the opponent's quality of defense. So when you get a player moving from stronger to weaker competition, or from weaker to stronger competition, when they go up against a defense that is allowing, you know, let's say in this case now, more points per possession on an expectation, right? A worse defense allows more points per possession in both practice and in shot quality, we would hope. But, you know, when that starts to happen, what we would end up seeing is that this player should effectively start scoring more shot quality points, or at least more net shot quality points, and helping his team produce that, because when he was playing against a better defense, the defensive expectations against him were sort of, you know, causing him to essentially produce worse, right? Better players going to weaker conferences should, you know, normally produce more or be more featured. So the algorithm should very quickly be able to identify that this player is producing more and producing, but also fairly. Right. And that's the important thing, is that it's going to see the increased production and be able to compare it to who this player was shooting against versus who they're shooting against now, and say, OK, this is an expected increase based on this quality of defense, rather than, all right, well, this person's overperforming. Right. So shot quality is the gauge of if a person or a player is really over or underperforming. And when they switch teams, the defensive metrics come in and help us understand that new sort of maybe more challenging evaluation of a player in a new conference.
Yeah, it's so interesting to take a look at that, because you've got a lot of data available, but it's very much varying data, to say the least, as Justin Perry does a great job over at Shot Quality Bets is joining me on the podcast. And I will say, one thing that has been nice about having the COVID year is that we know more and more about these players than ever before. Like, Alexis Yetna is back in the transfer portal at the age of 26, so whoever is getting him is not only getting a player for the team, but a guy that's able to rent the rental car for the team as well. So, hey, congratulations to whoever lands him, that you make him a very hot commodity in the transfer portal. But what I've always found to be so difficult for myself, and I'm sure with your model as well, it probably is of difficulty gauging these freshmen and how they are going to be going about things, because I know you talk a lot about being able to have this information on the shots that they take against other college teams, being able to look at it relative to the competition that they play. We just have none of that with these high school guys, aside from like AAU footage, taking a look at how they did maybe in like an under FIBA 19 championship, which that applies to a very small amount of guys. How are you going to be able to view some of these upcoming freshmen? Because it's something that year in and year out, I always struggle with as well, because I do rely quite a bit just in terms of my personal handicapping on what guys did in college previous year.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest parts about college basketball, is really understanding the impact that players we have little to no data on are going to bring to the court, and do so immediately on games that we bet with the same money that we bet in the end of the season, right? And I think it's the most interesting part of the sport. And the beginning of the season, actually, you know, I just wrapped up doing a pretty in-depth dive on our betting model for the entire year. And, you know, we made, I would say, the majority of our profit from November to the end of December. And that's because we were faster to identify the impact of those players, of those new teams, than the market, and then it gets a lot harder. Markets get a little sharper, get into the new year, and then you also, then March becomes another like free-for-all where you have a lot of weird matchups and you can kind of be a little sharper in terms of creating your own lines. But what that really points to is that with these incoming freshmen, is that you kind of have no choice but to look at a team level at the beginning of the season. I think that's what a lot of people who model or handicap end up doing. They look at who's they're returning, what these players might be worth, and trying to handicap the coaching systems and the team talent levels at most. But, you know, the beauty of SQ is that we can come in and say, like, within three or four games with really pretty good accuracy. Nothing like crazy, like 100% like reliability of that this player is going to be impactful versus this player is not. But better than like, you know, the effectiveness that you have by just looking at box score metrics. That's our game, right? It's trying to be more predictive than what you can get by just how many points have been scored. And because we obviously have a lot of box score bias, it's really natural. We can't really help it. You see a score, you're like, that's what should have happened. The score that occurred is the result that was deserved to happen. And, you know, we study a lot of statistics. We know there's a lot of randomness, and that means there's actually a distribution of results with varying weights. And we try to wade through all of that and the noise of lucky shots and really hard shots and contested threes going down and you know, open looks clanking off the back of the rim, right? So we try to like swim through that to understand quickly like which one of those incoming freshmen are actually developing value in the possessions that they're a part of. We're not going to know immediately. I don't think anyone's going to know immediately. If you do, give me a call. I'd love to do that. You know, yeah, we just try to do it as quick as possible to get that, you know, running start on the expectations that the rest of the market have. And, you know, we trust the numbers we get. And, you know, it's turned out very well as, you know, in both the last years starting off hot.
Yeah, Ben, I do think that it is going to be such a complex thing to take a look at with these freshmen as well, because you just don't know how many minutes they're going to be getting as well. That's one of the biggest unknowns, trying to take a look at just that, and that alone is half the battle. It's Justin Perry. He does great work over at Shot Quality Bets. He's joining me on the podcast. And then I'm sure that you've been paying attention to some of these guys in the transfer portal. I'm sure that you haven't caught up on all north of 1,430 players in the transfer portal, but just taking a look at some of the teams that have made moves, have there been some teams that have either risen up your rankings or fallen down it from what you were maybe expecting going into the offseason? Because there have been some big-time moves that have been made. I was talking about coaching changes with, like, Micah Shrewsbury moving over. No doubt Georgetown is going to be looking like a brand-new team this season as well. But have there been a few teams that your model really likes in terms of the moves that they have made this offseason?
I mean, nothing too crazy for us just yet. A Shot Quality model really does sit there and wait for actual game day to be played. In terms of my personal handicapping, I think everyone's very excited about Duke. And I think that, you know, it's going to be a really exciting season for them. Returning talent in Filipowski is obviously should be one of the front runners for player of the year. We've seen that, you know, what we have with the new coaching is nothing to be sort of laughed at. So I'm really excited about that team. I think it's one that's going to draw a lot of market excitement and probably open up some valuable spots to like go against, especially in the ACC. So I'm interested in that. I know I'm sort of a zig when they zag type of guy. There's definitely a lot of stuff that's sort of been, you know, moving around in terms of some of these conferences. I think that, you know, the Big East looks poised to be one of the most entertaining conferences again. Patino going over there to over here to Queens for St. John's, I think is going to be a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of good stuff developing with, you know, Houston now moving its conference is a huge deal. I think that's going to maybe make them a little bit more, I wouldn't say easy to model, but we're going to see them against legitimate competition a lot more often. So I'm really excited to see that and try to, like, you know, figure out where that team lies. I'm excited to see how Memphis continues to do. I think that's a really strong program year in and year out. And I think that they're going to be able to bring in some good talent and keep some key remaining pieces. We were close to them making a run just this year. So look, there's a million teams to talk about. And I don't know, I think what's going on with Notre Dame and Penn State is obviously very interesting too. I think Penn State could very easily sort of carry some of the love that they had this year. into next season, but it should be very, very different. So interested to see how the market reacts there. Indiana's going to be one to watch. Obviously, Trace Jackson Davis is a big, big part of that team that they're going to sort of have to figure out what they're going to look like next season. So I like Mike Woodson, though. I think he'll be able to get it done. I don't know. The Big Ten looks super interesting. Obviously, Hunter Dickinson sweepstakes aren't over. That's going to be one of the most interesting players to sort of rebalance the landscape. Feels like he's maybe coming to the ACC. I wouldn't be shocked to see him go there. I mean, Maryland seems a little bit crazy staying in conference, but there's definitely a lot more drama with the transfer portal now. We've actually been trying to help coaches, so I don't know how many coaches tune into the pod, but we do have a really cool coaching tool where we have a transfer portal like add-on that coaches can use to see shot quality data on the players who they can, you know, try to get to their team.
And I think that that is so important as well, seeing what guys might be able to fit the schemes of especially those new coaches. And Justin, I want to close it up with this as well, because we know that there's been a lot of hoopla around Duke last few days with bringing back Kyle Filipowski. A lot of people have anointed them as the way too early number one team in terms of these top 25s. And if the season were to start today, I personally would have Duke at number one as well. They ended the year very strong. You bring back someone like Kyle Filipowski, you bring back most of your guys from a season ago. I think that that's very big. But in terms of your model, do you think that that is warranted at this point? Or would you maybe looking at a different team to be that way too early number one as of right now, knowing that things are going to change with guys like Hunter Dickinson and company decide where they're going to be going to school at?
Yeah, you know, I do think it's a pretty fair one. You know, UConn obviously going to take a little bit of a hit. I believe Sonogo did declare for the draft, but they're still going to be a fierce team. I think you got to take seriously. I probably would think that Duke would be number one if you started collecting the data from these teams today based on who they're going to have compared to who other teams are losing. Unless there's like stud freshmen that bump up one of these teams sort of in the next ranks a little bit, you know, depending on how like a recruiting class for Kentucky or Alabama or Houston or looks. Kansas is always in the fold. But I think if you ask me like where I would put money, it's a little bit, you know, not my style to go with the team everyone's talking about. But I think that this Duke team is going to be a team to watch out for. I think Creighton probably has a decent shot to put together another contending team. And I would probably think that Michigan State, honestly, with some of the talent that they're keeping, odds have already fallen for them, I believe. I think they opened up closer to 25-1. You're going to find them around like 20-1 now. Yeah, I think those are probably some of the teams that I'd be looking at. I know the market already likes Tom Izzo's Michigan State to be a contender. Should be a good year, though. I mean, it's way too early, but I always like when we have good Izzo teams, at least rolling late into the season.
Me too, and I mean, the Big Ten, I'm sure, likes it as well, because they are in search of their first national title since Michigan State was able to win it in 2000, so it's been a long time of suffering for them, but we never suffer whenever you join this podcast, Justin, because you always elevate the quality that we're able to get here, as you do a great job over at Shot Quality Bets. I know you're doing amazing work taking a look at everything this offseason, and I know that it can be, for some, easier than others taking a look at things earlier in the season versus later on during the season, but with your model, I know that you guys were able to have some great consistency this last season, which it's not easy in this day and age of college basketball. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms, because I know that you're doing a little bit more than just college basketball right now.
Always more. That's the name of the game. And look, we're doing a lot of great stuff right now. We got the NBA playoffs going on. We have a new model that we engineered specifically for the NBA to include a lot of like injury updates, try to be as fast as possible and as transparent as possible with how the model's working, moving into like player simulations and abilities for people to calculate games with or without players to understand how they might impact a game. So that's all happening right now. We have a really cool set of goals for our college basketball pages. So if you're interested in that, just go check out shotqualitybets.com. You can follow us on Twitter @shotqualitybets. Again, I'm Justin Perry 8, but it's definitely more about what shot quality is doing, bringing that, like, you know, expected goal philosophy type of play into college basketball, trying to get a little bit of a deeper picture of maybe the value a shot is worth versus just saying, did it go in or not? There is definitely a really good value to having that type of predictive metric. So we're really excited to continue to, you know, expand. It's going to be a really, really fun next season. Really appreciate you having me on to talk about what is already churning up for next November.
It is going to be a lot of fun. And Justin, it is always a pleasure whenever we get you on this podcast. Just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to college basketball and getting set for what is going to be an incredible season. So big thanks to Justin for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSIN family of podcasts. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @GNN_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I'm coming at you guys every single day on this podcast during the offseason, taking a look at the news and notes of college basketball. And then we are also going to be taking a look at some conference previews once this transfer portal hoopla comes down. That is most likely going to be more towards very, very late May / early June that we're going to be diving in on those conference previews. And then once we get in season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So that means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.